In a park outside a museum in Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, there is a graveyard. But it's not for people. This graveyard is for statues. 21 large monuments created when Estonia was part of the Soviet Union. After Estonia regained its independence in 1991, the statues of Soviet heroes like Lenin and Stalin were taken down and dumped at the back of the museum where they are now on display. That's what happens when old nations fall apart and new ones are created. The old symbols are left in fields, museums, and warehouses. We're going to visit the virtual warehouse where abandoned anthems are stored. Welcome to episode 3 of the series on national anthems, the worst songs in the world. One of the most popular BBC television dramas of the 1970s was called The Oneidan Line. It told the story of a Liverpool shipowner and his dreams of building a shipping line in the 19th century. The theme music for the series was taken from the ballet Spartacus by Armenian composer Aram Khachaturian. The music perfectly complemented the pictures of tall ships under full sail. But Khachaturian wrote a lot of other music. He was one of the major composers of the 20th century. So why is one of his works sitting on a shelf in our warehouse of abandoned anthems? It's not this one, which you probably know. Khachaturian also wrote Armenia's national anthem. As an anthem, it had a pretty good run, almost 50 years until the collapse of the Soviet Union and the creation of the modern independent state of Armenia. But in the new world, the old anthem just didn't work anymore. When I say Khachaturian wrote the anthem, I really mean that he composed the music. And it wasn't the music that was the problem, it was the lyrics. The first word of the old anthem was Soviet. So you can see why people wanted to dump it. Then there were the mentions of Stalin, Lenin, and Great Russia, although the verses about Stalin were removed when he fell out of favour in the 1950s. But clearly, the old anthem had to go, along with other symbols of Armenia's Soviet past. And there was an easy substitute waiting to be picked up. The anthem used during a couple of years of Armenia was an independent country, absorption into the Soviet Union. Khachaturian's music was abandoned, but not completely forgotten. After all, he is a national hero, Armenia's most prominent composer, and there's a move to bring his anthem back, with new lyrics. If only people could agree on what those lyrics should be. For now, it's easier to do nothing. But one day, Kaczaturian's anthem may be resurrected. While there are certainly some worthwhile anthems gathering dust in our virtual warehouse, there are also some that deserve to stay there. Among the best forgotten anthems is God Save the South, widely considered to be the unofficial anthem of the Confederate States during the American Civil War. The song follows the drearily predictable path of revolutionary-type songs with its promise of victory or the grave. The lyrics go, "Chanting our battle cry, freedom or death." Somewhat surprisingly, the song seems to accept the cause it promotes is likely a lost one, at least on its own merits. It makes it clear that victory requires God's help. God made the right stronger than might. Millions would trample us down in their pride, it says. And it also doesn't hide what the war was really about. War to the hilt, theirs be the guilt, who fetter the free man to ransom the slave. The appeals to God obviously didn't work, and this is one anthem that, like the statues of toppled dictators, is best left to rot. And while we're in the section of the warehouse storing old white supremacy anthems, let's check out the national song used by Rhodesia.
Rise, O voice of Rhodesia, mark may we thy
promise. For those not old enough to remember, Rhodesia was a former British colony in southern Africa that rebelled against becoming an independent state under black majority rule. Instead, the white minority set up their own country in 1965. It survived for 14 years, rejected by the entire world, until the creation of Zimbabwe. And while no other nation recognized Rhodesia or allowed it to participate in international events like the Olympics, it still wanted an anthem. But you get the impression that it wasn't really trying. Just listen to the music. If you think that sounds a lot like Beethoven's Ode to Joy, that's because it is. The Rhodesians just ripped off the tune and added their own words, which definitely didn't carry the power of Schiller's original poem. The Rhodesian version begins with the lines, "Rise, O voices of Rhodesia, God may we thy bounty share." That was presumably not intended to be ironic, because there was definitely no bounty sharing going on in Rhodesia in the 1970s. The anthem itself wasn't around for long, and its only real legacy was to ruin Beethoven's Ninth Symphony for those Zimbabweans who couldn't shake the link between the magnificent music and the racist state of Rhodesia. So, to get the Rhodesian connection out of your head, here's Ode to Joy as it's meant to be heard. Rhodesia wasn't the only unrecognized state in southern Africa with an anthem. In the 1970s, South Africa decided to use some legal trickery to get around the rather obvious fact that the vast majority of its people were black. It created a bunch of little statelets within its borders, which it declared independent nations. The apartheid government then stripped its black population of South African citizenship and declared them to be citizens of these new so-called countries. They then tried to claim, with a straight face, that white people were now in the majority in South Africa. Needless to say, that didn't work. But for a few years, there were a few self-governing homelands with all the trappings of independent states. Those homelands had governments, armies, flags, and of course, national anthems. One of them belonged to Bophuthatswana, home of the notorious Sun City Resort, which bribed top singing acts to ignore the international boycott on performing in South Africa. The list of people who took that money is long and shameful. But Bophuthatswana's anthem itself wasn't bad. The anthem ceased to exist, along with the fiction of an independent Bophuthatswana, when the homelands were reabsorbed into South Africa after the introduction of majority rule. One of the most heartbreaking anthems in our virtual warehouse belongs to a state that is now mostly forgotten, but which gripped the world during its brief, violent existence. In 1967, part of Nigeria broke away from the country as the Republic of Biafra. It was the start of a terrible war.
Then let it be known that the entire people of Biafra, men, women and children, and indeed future generations, will continue to fight, no matter the odds, until their God-given right to self-determination is recognized.
The Biafran leader hoped to create a nation, but it only lasted 2.5 years. Nigeria blockaded the breakaway region. Its people starved. An estimated 2 million people died from hunger, most of them children. I remember seeing the horrific images of babies and toddlers with distended bellies on television news programs. It was the first time much of the world had witnessed the impact of famine as a weapon of war. The Republic of Biafra never knew peace, only fighting and death, both captured in its anthem, Land of the Rising Sun.
Land of the
set to a heartbreakingly beautiful tune adapted from Finlandia by the Finnish composer Jean Sibelius. The words are eerily prophetic, as if the writer could see the tragedy to come. Like so many human conflicts, the horror of the Biafran War was quickly forgotten outside of its homeland, memories occasionally triggered by old photographs of emaciated children who truly did give their lives for their country without ever understanding the sacrifice imposed on them. For that reason, the anthem of the Republic of Biafra is an important testament that must be remembered.
Lest we go astray, evil's the shrine to eat the humanist call, to give and not to count the cost each day.
Most anthems are identified with the state, even those that are actually about the ruler. So God Save the Queen becomes God Save the King when required. But some monarchs didn't see any distinction between the nation and themselves, so the national anthem was all about them. The Ottoman Empire was one of the world's largest and longest lasting. It ruled much of southeastern Europe, Western Asia and Northern Africa between the 14th and early 20th centuries. Of course, anthems weren't around for most of that time. But when other countries started adopting them, Sultan Mahmud II wanted one too. So he got his resident court musician to compose an anthem, just for him. What he got was the March of Mahmud. That song was around for 10 years until Mahmud died in 1839, and the new ruler got a new anthem. His song was called March of Abdul-Majid. And that pattern of a new march for a new sultan continued until the collapse of the Ottoman Empire and the end of the sultans in 1922. When you think about it, if your anthem is going to be about your ruler, then it makes perfect sense to commission a new one every time there's a change at the top. That's what happens with currencies. The new monarch's face appears on notes and coins, so why not a new song? And changing up the anthem would be an opportunity to get rid of all that nasty stuff about marching over the bodies of your foes, cutting throats, and celebrating ancient battles. In other words, growing up. Not all abandoned anthems are best forgotten. Some just got a raw deal. After the Second World War, Germany was divided. The Soviet Union held on to the part of the country it occupied and created the state of East Germany, or, as it was officially known, the German Democratic Republic. Although it definitely wasn't democratic. But it did get an anthem. And that's more than the rest of Germany did. West Germany stuck with the pre-war anthem and just picked a different verse from the same poem. But the East Germans chose not to shy away from what had happened between 1939 and 1945. Its anthem was called Risen from Ruins, and it's all about building a new and better future in a world that longs for peace. The lyrics also make it clear that Germans should be united again so that the sun, more beautifully than ever before, shines over Germany. Of course, the East German authorities meant reunification on their terms, which wasn't going to happen. But the song itself hit all the right notes. For a country that truly was a democratic republic, instead of being a secret police state that collapsed almost overnight in 1990. But words are powerful things, and even the communist government seemed embarrassed by the disparity between the anthem's message of happiness, peace and unity, and the reality of fear, oppression and despair that marked daily life in East Germany. The words were rarely sung after 1970. When reunification did happen, the East German anthem was unceremoniously dumped. And that's a pity, because it's a great tune and would have been a good choice for a unified Germany too. Sometimes strange things happen. There is an alternative universe where a resurgent German Empire dominates Europe. It's an elaborate online game called Cybernations. Players create their own countries in amazing detail, and one of those created countries is called Gross Germania. It comes with pages of an imagined history and current social development, even a constitution. And an anthem. And the anthem this online state adopted is the old East German one, Risen from Ruins. You never know when changing times will bring back the past. Who knows? Maybe even those old Soviet statues in that Estonian museum will one day, like the East German anthem, find a new home. So a song that's been sitting for decades in our virtual warehouse of abandoned anthems has a new virtual life, as the song for a country that doesn't really exist.